Right at the end of the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, and reading from the 10th verse. It's quite a strong book, a word of God that comes to His people. We'll pick it up in chapter 2. Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Judah has broken faith. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears, you weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her. Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are His. And why one? Because He was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Just so far, the reading of the Word of God. Father, we do turn now and ask as we seek to understand this Scripture, this Word, that You would speak to us. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would open our minds, that He would be at work in illuminating that which You have revealed. And Lord, just giving us even a real sense of Your presence as You convince us and teach us and speak to us and command us and direct us. And we pray that there would be value in this, in our growth, in sanctification as we gather here this evening. I pray too for myself. Help me, Lord, to think clearly and speak simply, but to do so in Your strength and power. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I think one of the great things that I've noticed in the evening service here at Central is there seems to be a buzz. I don't know what else to call it, a buzz of good friendship. Isn't that true? It's really been good to see that. Younger people and older people sticking around after a service. I don't know if you noticed, even before the service tonight, there was a hive of activity. Now, people who don't know each other, people who've got nothing to say to each other, this wouldn't happen. So it is an indication to me that many of you are coming together because there is a sense of joy on your hearts. You're coming together because you joyfully want to worship God. And of course, you are also enjoying friendships and relationships with others in the context of the church. That's a good thing. But I want us to think a little bit tonight about these relationships, these opportunities we have as we connect with others, as we relate to others. And think about these relationships as we conduct them, both in the present and into the future. Is it possible, I wonder, to protect existing friendships? Is it possible to develop deeper and more meaningful relationships? Is it possible to move forward in such a way that we can avoid what God is speaking about in this particular passage? I don't know if you notice the repetitive nature of what He raises. But particularly, we are wanting to avoid what he speaks of as breaking faith with one another. That's not something we want to do. I don't think it's something we deliberately plan to do. I don't think people are like that. But for some reason, there is this danger, and it's more than a danger, it's a reality among people where there is a breaking of faith. Relationships are broken. Now, the passage and the context, as Malachi, the prophet, is used by God to speak on this particular instance, speaks about a falling, a stumbling of these people in this regard, with respect to relationships. Verse 10, if you have your Bible open, you'll see there, why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? And he's speaking here of personal relationships in general, in community, where there has been a severing, where there has been a falling apart, widespread dishonesty among each other, being perhaps one thing in front of the person, but being another thing behind the person's back. In other words, there was lots of stabbing in the back, one to the other. Sweetness in front of someone, and yet poison behind their backs. Saying one thing on one occasion, but when not present, saying another thing. And so this breaking of faith, so much so that these people could not trust each other. Verse 11 and 12, he gets onto a specific area, and it is the area of marriage to unbelievers. And in the last line of verse 11, in fact, he says there that he has married the daughter of a foreign god, and again defines this, describes this as a breaking of faith. Doing something, marrying women who were not believers, and in God's eyes, this was a serious stumbling. And then in the third instance, towards the end of that passage, he deals with a very, very touchy and difficult issue of divorce. We're in the family, husbands and wives, breaking faith one with the other. Now, I don't plan to tackle this entire passage tonight. I think there's too much value in it, especially among us. You who are younger, those who are preparing for life, but even those of us who are older, there is a tremendous importance in relationships. It is importantly significant that we know how to conduct ourselves in the context of relationships that are pleasing and honoring to God. And so tonight I'm going to lay, as it were, the foundation, and then next time, which will be in a couple of weeks' time, I'll deal with the specifics of what is being raised in this particular passage. So we'll pick up the principles tonight, make some application, but perhaps more meaningful and deeper application the next time, God willing, I have an opportunity to preach. And so to begin with, I want to speak about the fact, or the statement, your relationships and God's will. Does God have an opinion? Does God have a particular plan? Does God have a particular design? And yes, many of you, and certainly we in this church would agree, God does have a design. God does have a particular plan. And so much so that in verse 10, Malachi says, have we not all one father? So he's illustrating using the language of the family, of relationship. Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? And so it's very clear in the context or in the thrust of this particular verse, it's plain from this verse that it is God's will that in relationships we are to be faithful. We are to be trustworthy. That's putting it positively. God certainly is not pleased when there is a faithlessness. Well, God is not pleased when we deal with each other maliciously or treacherously. God is not pleased. God is grieved. God doesn't like it when we treat each other with slander. For example, using the tongue to hurt and to belittle and to destroy. God is not pleased when we ignore or cut off people in a particular context. And God is not pleased when we speak, as it were, with a double-forked tongue, saying one thing and meaning another thing. And so yes, God does have an opinion. And the general distrust spoken of in verse 10, or the marrying to unbelievers in verse 11, or the issue of divorce in verse 14, are all reference to the consequences of this kind of conduct. What is the problem? Why is it that relationships fall down? Why is it in these specific areas of life, and there is this failure to keep a commitment, to keep a trust? Because ultimately a breaking of a relationship is the breaking of an agreement. It's the breaking of a covenant or a contract or a promise. And so what Malachi does with this particular word, breaking of faith, is to show that community, all of community, not just the church, but of course specifically the church as well, all of community life is to be ordered by the faithful commitment or fulfillment of promises. Promises we make to each other. The fulfillment of contracts or oaths or covenants or commitments. And as he unfolds this, I believe he shows that there are two opposite ways. And that's our second point. Two opposite ways of conducting your relationships. And we all do it, one or the other. So it is God's will that we keep trust, that we keep a trust, that we do not break faith, that we do not act maliciously, that we act with integrity and honesty. That's God's will. But what are these two opposite ways in practice that lead to the conducting of our relationships? The first, of course, is God's way, and I'll deal with that just in a few minutes. And I want to call that the way of peace and wholeness. The way of peace and wholeness. God's way can be called covenantal order. Now, don't get lost, young people. That's a big word. It simply means a covenant is an agreement. So there is this order in agreement, covenant order. And it is, in fact, what the Old Testament means when it uses the word shalom, which is just the word for peace. All relationships are made peaceful. All relationships will be pure when by the fulfillment of promises and covenants, agreements, and oaths and contracts and commitments, if these are carried through. In other words, it's a simple message. In our relating one to the other, there is this important thing: if you say it, do it. If you promise it, keep the promise. Be faithful to your word. A promise you make must be a promise you keep. And if you think about the nature of relationships, every single, I try to list out the various relationships that we live in. There's the relationship in the family. Promises have been made between husbands and wives. And God's way is that there will be peace in the home if those promises are kept. If those agreements are adhered to. In the workplace, it's exactly the same. We enter into contracts of employment. I think those who have a job, you all have a letter of appointment. And in that particular letter of appointment, there are certain expectations. There is a job description. And normally when you get into a new job, you have to sign your acceptance of the job description. You enter into an agreement. And so in the outworking of your life, in your particular job, if you adhere to the agreement and the promises, then as an employee, your life at work should be peaceful. But it's when we begin to break faith. Of course, the same applies to the state. We have certain obligations as citizens. There's a certain understanding that and responsibility and commitments that we have as citizens to the state. And the state has to us. And what a wonderful place South Africa would be if the state kept its commitments and the citizens kept their commitments. Why do we have crime and violence? It's because people are not keeping their commitments. They're not keeping their contracts, so there cannot be peace. I think it applies in the local church. This morning we accepted some new members, and we've done so regularly over the past months and years. And we teach a members class beforehand, and we speak about the kind of obligations of membership, and people fill in a membership form and they apply to the church and their privileges and their responsibilities. And again, it's a question of us keeping commitments as members. In our involvements, in our support of the church financially, in the ministries we're involved in the prayers that we pray. It's all about commitments, contracts, agreements. Those of us who are leaders, deacons, elders, pastors, when we agreed to such a nomination and appointment, there was an undertaking. We would do such and such. The very nature of God's way, again, peace and well-being and health. Fulfill your commitments. Live according to covenantal order. And so the peace and the prosperity, and I believe even the joy of a community, the peace of a community, is held together by a strong spirit of covenant keeping. If there is that within the family, there will be joy. There will be prosperity in the sense of togetherness. There will be peace. If we have had that within the life of the church, in terms of the promises we make and the keeping of those promises, there will be a health and a well-being in terms of our country. And so it's so important, and that's why I thought to preach this kind of message, as I want to urge young people to develop your life, to build your life along the lines of God's way. Covenantal order. Making promises and keeping promises. When this becomes, as it were, the very fabric of community, and there is an air of trustworthiness, what a place. What a blessing. And so there is a challenge tonight. I think the challenge is, do you keep your commitments? Do you keep the promises that you've made? Do I keep the promises and commitments I've made? Are you known as a trustworthy partner? Trustworthy partner in all the relationships you have. And again, in all contexts of life, in the workplace, in the home, in the church, in society, in community, are you a trustworthy partner? Now, the second way is not God's way. And I call it the way of chaos and brokenness. Now, think about this. If God's way is one of covenantal order, where people are making promises and keeping promises, the other way is the opposite. It's to live together in community and not keep your promises. It's to live together in community, and therefore, by not keeping promises, the place will be in chaos. And I think that's generally what we see in society, disorder. And the reason for this is self-indulgence. And so there is no spirit of keeping the promises and trust. The spirit of commitment making and commitment keeping has been replaced in this alternative way by a spirit of emotional and physical impulse. I'll do what I feel I need to do now as it suits me. Now, there's a great danger when society, falls to this particular level of the way they relate in relationships. In this approach, what happens is the moral fabric of faithfulness to covenants and agreements and promises and contracts are cast aside, and in place we have what are individual strands of private gratification. I'll do what I think, or I'll do whatever suits me best, whenever I think it should be done. It's a spirit of individualism. A couple of examples. And again, I think one has to think about this. And younger people, I want you to think about this as you enter adulthood and some of the dangers and difficulties in life. You see, a woman, for example, finds herself pregnant and wants to abort. Now, there's a dilemma. Now, there can be various dilemmas. It could be because of some kind of indiscretion that the pregnancy has come about. And so a decision has got to be made. Now, what should the Christian do? What is God's will in a particular situation? Well, should we just take the decision on impulse? Should we take what is convenient, what is comfortable, and simply terminate? Yes, it eliminates the baby. It might allow you to continue with your studies, or it may allow your boyfriend to do what he wants to do, but is it right? Where does that take society? The same thing applies in other areas of life. A man or a woman may feel burdened and fed up by the commitments in life. The job is getting a real pain in the neck. The family are burdensome. The children are pressure. And so the way of impulse, the way of individual private gratification is, well, blow them and I'm going to do my own thing. That's the danger. The danger of simply living for oneself instead of saying, hang on a minute, life is difficult. The job is burdensome. I have made commitments. I've got to see them through because this is the way of covenantal order. Not going to be part of plunging society into chaos and dysfunction. A another example in the area of relationship. Man or woman at work has a particular attraction to somebody and again simply gives in to the impulse of lust and sleeps with that particular person, has a sexual encounter and simply does it because there is a desire to satisfy an impulse now. And there is a forgetting of God's way of peace. So Malachi's message to us, I believe today, is that no, work on your commitments, the keeping of your promises, the agreements that you've made, stick to them, do not break faith. Become a person who is known as trustworthy. Even in the life of the church, I think there is a lesson for us here. You make an appointment, you keep an appointment. Isn't that so? You commit to a ministry, you be at the ministry. You commit to a particular responsibility, you see to it. And it's the way of peace. It's the way that honors God. It's not about just personal comfort and gratification at the expense of what is right and honorable and pleasing to God. And dear friends, there's a warning, that's a very strong warning that comes through this particular book. And Malachi warns against what appears to be a false freedom of individualistic self-indulgence. You can take the shortcut. You can look after, as it were, number one. But in the end, there will be chaos, there will be disorder, and there will, of course, be dishonor to God. There will not be the way, ultimately, of peace and joy in your relationships in community. Now, thirdly, just finally then, three reasons why you should be faithful in your relationships. Why should you be known as a trustworthy person? Three reasons, and very briefly, yeah, they're given to us in verse 10, the verse I read just now. First of all, we have one Father. Verse 10, have we not all one Father? And he's simply arguing, he's saying, hang on a minute, if we all have one Father, when we are unfaithful, when we break faith, when we act treacherously, what we do, we are betraying a brother or sister. Because we have one Father. God is our Father. We deceive our own flesh and we dishonor our God. And so there is strong motivation because God is our Father that we should in fact not break faith. Secondly, we have one Creator. Again, verse 10. Did not one God create us? And what he's saying over here is, hang on a minute, if you act faithlessly and you break your commitment, you're acting as though you are accountable to one God and the other person is accountable to another God. And that's nonsense because there's only one God. So one Creator does not allow you to act as it were according to one set of foundational rules and principles and another Creator according to another set of foundational principles or rules. No. One Creator that holds all of us accountable. Thirdly, it violates the covenant of our fathers. And this I found to be a challenge to me. Why do we profane, verse 10, the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? What was the covenant to the fathers? It is, of course, the covenant that God made, the commitment, the agreement, if you like, that God made to be Abraham's God. Now, what was the in that? Well, God had committed to Abraham that he would bless him, that he would give him life and hope, and not only to him, but all his true offspring. Now think about that. In other words, the agreement and the commitment, if you like, the covenant that God made with Abraham extends to those who yet tonight are believers, who in Christ of beneficiaries who are, as it were, the seed of Abraham through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of Calvary. And so the promise of God has been made. And so the point that has been made by Malachi is that whenever we fail in relationship, whenever we break faith or we betray a trust, we act as though God cannot keep his word. Because we are stepping in the place of God. We are stepping in because we believe perhaps God can't provide for us, or God can't protect our reputation, or because God can't develop us as individuals and so on. And so we act as though it is untrustworthy that this blessing, that this covenant that was made by God to Abraham is unworthy. Well, just in conclusion, I do believe that it is God's will that we act with integrity toward each other. And I do think it's important that we think about the promises we make, whether it be to a friendship, at school, at university, or at work, whether it be in a marriage, whether it be as a member of a church or as a leader of a church. We need to be thinking about the promises, the commitments we are saying we will fulfill, and the integrity that is required to be faithful and God-honoring in keeping the promises and commitments we make. Why do we maybe put this differently? How can we be sure, or how can we conduct our lives to ensure that we do work and keep trust and integrity and faithfulness? And I want to turn just as a final word now to verse 16. Malachi, I think, has a great conclusion here on the matter. He provides the answer as to how we can resist the temptation to break faith. And one could perhaps preach a sermon, why do we break faith? Why do we keep faith? And the sermon would simply be based on this warning that he gives in verse 16, the second part of the verse. He says, so guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. You see there, the breaking of faith is a consequence to the way you conduct yourself in your spirit. In other words, he's saying it's all about your heart. It's a matter of the soul, the wellness of the soul. If you're walking with God, there is a tenderness toward God. You've been born again of the Spirit of God, and there's a sensitivity to the holiness of God and the honor of God and the glory of God. More likely you won't break faith. Isn't that true? But when there is hardness of heart, when there is an insensitivity to the holiness of God, or to the person of God, or to God as Creator or God as Father, and there is this hardness, then more than likely you will break faith, because God then will not be that important in the decisions and actions and motives of your life. And so ultimately this whole matter of relationship boils down to an internal issue of your standing relationally with God now. Tenderness toward God. I've been in the ministry a fair amount of time now, and been involved in all sorts of efforts of reconciliation between people of different opinions, sometimes in marriages, many times in fact in marriages. And I've reached the conclusion, solutions are best found when there is a tenderness toward God. It's amazing when both parties have a desire to honor God and please God and are sensitive to the Spirit of God, how much easier differences can be resolved. And so I simply urge you tonight to cultivate, to nurture your relationship with God. That it be vibrant, that it be presently vibrant. I think that's important. It's no use remembering there was once a day when. Now, that may be your value. But more importantly, is it presently vibrant and tender? Is there zeal for God? Is there tenderness toward God? Are there inclinations for God? Are your affections, and there's a lovely word I think the old Puritans used to use, are your affections set toward God? Then other relationships will far easily, far easier to sort out in participating and experiencing covenantal order in the peace of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we do pray that you would continue to help us in this area of relationship and commitment and agreement. And I do thank you, Lord, for many good friendships that have developed over the years within the context of the church. We thank you for those that have come in more recently, and I think of younger people and older people who have found friendship, and where there are perhaps even at this stage unspoken commitments and expectations. And Lord, I do pray for sensitivity among us as a people to live as those who want to please you in this regard. Experiencing the peace of God, submitting, Lord, to your will and to your way. And Lord, the effect of this in families, praying for families in our congregation to walk according to your will and way, whether it be a vibrancy and an intimacy of trust and loyalty and allegiance, but all flowing from commitment to you. Pray for us in the church as members and leaders in the commitments we've made to each other. Help us to fulfill these. And Lord, not so simply to do them out of obligation or legalistically, but all of this flowing from our hearts that are sensitive, tender, our hearts that have a love for Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And so go with us, Lord. Be with us tonight, we pray. We commit our fellowship to you after the church as we gather around tea and coffee and perhaps something to eat. And may these relationships go from strength to strength as we ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.